going back into the 8th chapter of Romans. And, you know, you think about what a journey this Romans has been. You know, God so merciful to us and yet so direct. And I thank God how guilty man is and how we began that we were dead and truly dead in our trespasses and sin. Thanking the Lord how we needed not just a Savior, we needed Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And how perfect and this plan and again, vessels prepared afore unto glory, vessels to the praise and the glory of His grace. This is what this is. All the Word of God is, but Romans is just such a magnificent announcement of unlike any, and a trumpeting blow of grace upon grace upon grace. And I thank God for this, but how the Lord has shown us through this that, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. Man completely lost, and then we have but God. And but God in His great love and His mercy to us, in that precious once and for all offering. Isn't that wonderful? Once and for all. We don't have to have this done again and again like so many want to do, or what an abomination it is. God gave His Son once and for all. That blood, praise God, poured freely once and for all. And in that, the ransom was paid in full, freed us from sin and death. And now again, that right there, as we think about it, is something so beyond. Just think of all that we've just thought about right there. Something so beyond that great gift of love that God gave when He gave us His Son. And brothers and sisters, yet that is only the beginning. It's the beginning of everything that He has, again, provided and wants to perform in us. And so there we went from there to not only are we justified, but we're justified as sons. Isn't that wonderful? See, we aren't just justified. We're justified as the sons of God. And I just am overwhelmed. Sonship with the Father. Thanking God that that is something that can never be severed. As we started even into Romans verse 1. And sons that can never be condemned. And again, all because of the life of Christ Jesus Himself that lives in every one of the children of God. It is the seed that remaineth. It's not predicated upon how I feel or how good I was today. Praise be to God. For now are we the sons of God. That is so beautiful. Again, there's nothing that rings more sweetly and beautifully to us than now are we the sons of God. And again, that's not all, because the sons that God has, they're all heirs of God. Think of that. Isn't that wonderful how God has brought us into that knowledge of it? Not only, again, justified as sons. Sons that can never, again, lose that status. It is the seed that remaineth. Jesus Christ can't deny Himself because He lives in us. Hallelujah. We can never be separated from the love of God. We know that. We're going to get to that even more so here, if the Lord tarry in a few weeks. But praise God how this is. But again, we're all heirs of God, as the sons of God. We have a stake, think of this, in heaven's domain. Each give an heirship to the kingdom of God. But that again isn't all of it. As we started to break into last night, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I mean, I just, you know, come on. But again, from the very beginning, so dead, yet, but God in His great love and mercy and how He loved us. Man, I'll tell you what, if I can believe that, praise be to God. He can give me the grace to believe Him all the way. And that's the truth, brothers and sisters. Why stop? Why not go, praise God, all the way? Why not be fully purposed? Why not, as was prayed here tonight, Lord, just increase our faith and help us to go in and just to take it what has been so freely given. But brothers and sisters, we are now called to joint heirship with Jesus Christ. That means an equal share. That means equal reigning, jointly ruling with Jesus Christ. But again, as we left off there in the 17th verse, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Hallelujah. And see, brothers and sisters, this suffering, it's not a hidden thing. It's made manifest. It's made it's very prevalent. It's been said many times over and over in the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Amen? And the Word of God, I can tell you, tells you very clearly in that same text. And if you deny, and meaning that deny that right to suffer with me, I'll deny you the right to reign with me. See, it's there for us. God wants it. He's provided it. It's all there, as he encourages us in Galatians 4:1, little Lord of all. Well, you know, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. You're a little Lord of all of it, if you'll grow up into it. But as he clearly tells you right there, but if you don't grow up from that, even though you are a little Lord of all, even though it is all yours, if you remain a child, you'll have no more enjoyment of everything than just a servant in the palace. That's the truth. That's the sad truth of where most of God's precious people remain. Why do they call then the innumerable multitude, most of the multitude that's up there, it's innumerable, palm wavers, servants unto God. See, they don't know anything more than that of being a servant. They cry salvation to our God, whereas praise the Lord, those four living ones, they're ruling and reigning jointly in the midst of the throne with him. Praise God. It's so just wonderful how this is. But again, getting back to those sufferings, brothers and sisters, the Lord says to know me in the fellowship of my sufferings. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, listen to this. This is Paul saying this to ones that truly are going to be those horse-like ones that are going to run to win that race. And here's what he says. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him. See, that's given. Not only just to believe on him for everything, but also to suffer for his sake. Praise God. Now, it doesn't just end there. Paul really going to hit you with something right now. Are you ready? Having the same conflict. That means the same battle. That means the same struggle which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. Now that's kind of startling when you think about Brother Paul's life. There's going to be suffering. Praise the Lord, as he says, if there's going to be glorified together with him in our lives. He's not shy about telling us that. Again, thanks be to God that Romans 8 didn't end just with verse 17. How mighty that would have been and how great, but my goodness, it might have just left me in a lurch. The consolation now begins. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? And oh, what a consolation it is. Verse 18, you talk about a calmer. It's a soother, praise be to God. Gives us abounding hope of overcoming. As he says so sweetly, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, I love that. Isn't that wonderful? And Paul speaking so boldly in the Spirit, that shall be revealed in us. It's there, praise God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's there. It's all there. Amen. Shall be revealed. There's going to be glory revealed no matter. But oh my, we're talking about a full glory. We're talking about filled with all the fullness of God glory. Hallelujah. Glory so bright and so incredible that I'll tell you what, she is just the pinnacle with him because it's his glory of all the ages to come. Her beauty, her glory, that is all because of him. Now, I want you to understand this. This isn't because of our faithfulness or our desire or our strength, brothers and sisters, but what's really being brought out in verse 18, it's because of the love reward, the benefit of his love, the pricelessness of his love is just beyond comprehension. 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. In Ephesians 2:7, it says, in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace, in his kindness to us, through Jesus Christ. Praise God. You talk about a windfall. You talk about something truly exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. This is it. And this is what God has for us. And then the glimpses of this company. You think about just some of the little things in the New Testament. We could spend eternity in the Old Testament talking about these things as well too. But Revelation 4, that wonderful company in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning jointly together with him. How about throughout the rest of Revelation, speaking of those four living ones, as they bring forth the judgment, they bring forth the wrath of God, they bring forth these bowls that are poured out and things of that nature. They are ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ from the get-go when this thing starts hitting. This is awesome stuff. By the grace of God, Lord, let us understand that this is our reality. What about her wedding gown there in Revelation 19? Isn't that awesome? Oh, that fine white linen. The righteousness of saints. Oh, that's the wife that has made herself ready. But then, how about her presentation in Revelation 21, descending from heaven, having the glory of God? And brothers and sisters, that's just a quick list. But how incredible, how beyond that, again, this is what he has offered to us. But best of all, I love about maybe verse 18, as you see there, it's the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us. See, in Jude 24, it talks about those that will be before the glory. And that's a mighty thing. I mean, how incredible to be before the glory of God, to see all that happening. You think about Moses seeing that, the back parts and things of that nature and all of that, the glory of God and how incredible that is. But brothers and sisters, may I remind you, we're not talking about before the glory. We're talking about by the goodness of his wonderful grace, she is his glory. She's the glory to him. It's incredible. Descending from heaven, having the glory of God. That's who she is. That's how much she's taken of him. Now, praise God. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. 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 Praise his name. Praise his name. See, because of that, brothers and sisters, because of this great love proposal, we can believe the word of God that it is but a light affliction. As it says in 1 Corinthians 4:17. Because such glory, praise God, is ours. But now, as we go on with this, it's only going to build in its magnificence of who and what she represents to all of creation itself. How, really, because of the grace of God, and we know this is all him performing it in us. Understand that very well. But let me tell you something. I want to apprehend all that grace to give him all the praise and, again, all the prize that he wants to receive in her. To believe him for this great grace. To believe him for this glory to glory into the very image of him. Hallelujah. But as we go on, let's go ahead and read verse 19. Now listen to this. For the earnest expectation of the creature or of creation waiteth for the manifestation, that's the unveiling there, of the sons of God. Now look at that here. All of creation is waiting for this event. All of creation's waiting for this. My goodness, this is it. I'm just blown away. But again, why not? She is what is hindering, if you think about this, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, she's the one that it says is hindering for the wrap-up to begin. See, until she is taken out of the way, until the bride is captured up into heaven, the enemy will not be allowed to go forth, that devil, like a roaring lion. It's being held at bay. Everything's being held back at this time. See, the bride's presence on this earth is holding back the full wrath of Satan. It's awesome. It's that love, praise God, that is so fervent for her. And the focus, I want you to know of this, is not for Satan's destruction. So many people, oh yeah, Satan's going to be destructed. Watch this and all that. Sure, it's going to be a wonderful thing. We understand that his time is coming. We know that. It's already done, but it's just, again, we're waiting on that. But see, what really is the moment here is the moment of the wondrous manifestation of the sons of God. The unveiling of her. That's what this is, see. You see how people can get caught up into all these different things? The good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Go after that perfect. Get into that. That's when, praise his name, that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared. See, that's the ones that'll just, they'll abide. And then we'll just, you know, again, well, we're going to just grin and bear it and get through it. We're going to hunker down. No, they're abiding joyfully, thankfully, rejoicing. They're seeing these things come to pass in this world. And sure, they hurt. You're sorrowful for them in a way. But in the biggest way, because your eyes and your heart's affections are set on the things above, there's nothing more exciting to you. You see these things come to pass. And you say, look, I understand this isn't flesh and blood. See, we get caught up into that so much. Oh, see, I told you, he would do this and she would do that. And they're just this and they're just that. And I'm not going to shop there and I'm not going to go there. And you're getting nuts. Just be thankful to God that you know the plan. It's out there. It's wonderful. The sinner can't help do what God said he would do. Rejoice in that. There's still a rejoicing in that. Do you understand that? There's going to be a rejoicing, praise God, when all hell is cast into the lake of fire. It's going to be a rejoicing because he's going to be magnified. Know these things. Rejoice in these things. And again, I say rejoice. This is that manifestation because of the love that he has, again, for her. But you go on with verse 20 here, and it says, for the creature was made subject to vanity. And again, this being all of creation, was made subject to that vanity, not willingly, see, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. See, God had a plan in all this. Nothing got by God. There were, again, God has never said, oops. Know that. Oh, my goodness, how'd that get by me? It doesn't work that way. See, that's our whole life, isn't it? But that's not God. Hallelujah. See, he's so far beyond it. And again, just orchestrating it so wonderfully. And again, has appointed the wicked for the day of evil. See, we don't even need to get bent out of shape about that. It just don't. We're set affections above. And thanking God for that. It's a wonderful time. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature, or again creation itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. My goodness. My goodness, brothers and sisters. The bondage here is being brought out. All creation has been in since that enemy was cast out of heaven upon this earth. And you think about again as you look out. All of this creation is under the curse. All of it. Yep. When that Devil was cast out. It all's under curse. He is the prince and the power of this air. Know this, brothers and sisters. And again, that'll help you rightfully divide the word of God. See, and you know, when that really hit me, these verses about understanding the bondage that creation has been in since that time, you know, it even caused me to look at animals in a different way, and this planet, and all of these different things. I mean, you know, matter of fact, I was watching a little bit this afternoon. I always kind of watch those wildlife shows. I love watching what God had created. They're marvelous, the intricacies. Watching about a platypus's bill and what all those sensors on that, and just marveling, thinking, how amazing is our God that on that bill, like no other bill, he put exactly what was on there, that thing closes its eyes and closes its ears and goes underwater, doesn't know where you'd think it was going, doesn't know how it's going to get along, and it's got radar like any nuclear sub would love to have just on that bill going out. And yet that just evolved. You got to be an idiot. It just is amazing to think that's got to be God. There's nothing else that could explain that. And I think God did it with that little animal. He said, okay, you want to see about your revolver thing? I'll just stick a web foot on that thing, give him a beaver tail, give him a duck nose, and when he goes hunting, he's blind and deaf. Now, how did that come about, huh? You just, like I say, aren't you thankful that you don't have to get stupid? And I just am thankful for that and grateful to God. I don't need to argue about it. I'll just be simple and believe my Lord. But really, when that kind of stuff hit me, I was thinking about a lot of creation groaning in a lot of different ways. You think about how nature sometimes even gets confused about things. And, you know, they say, oh, yeah, this is nature taking care of itself and doing this. I was thinking, no, I know God's a perfect God in a lot of different ways, but like beach whales and things like that, you know, they get confused in doing those things. Mad cow disease, what about them pigs that get all that flu and things of that nature? Let me tell you something, there's a lot of groaning in a lot of different ways. And but yet, I'll tell you what, as beautiful as this world is in many respects, I mean, there's some places I've seen and I like to see pictures of stuff, but my goodness, again, to think it's all under a curse. And what it's going to be, what it's going to be. You know, can you imagine? New heaven, new earth. And praise be to God how what he's going to create is going to sing. It's all going to sing and praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it is just going to be so beyond. I'm so grateful to God. And then again, you think about who brought all of that in. Obviously, it was God. And praise God, his son, as it says there in John so beautifully, how, you know, he spoke it into existence. He made it. There isn't anything that's made or without him. There's nothing formed without him. It's all him. And yet, isn't it beautiful without this wife coming to him and this readied wife and him taking her as his wife, all of the newness of everything's not going to happen either. See how special she is to the continuation in this newness. It's beyond. I just sit there and think, oh Lord, what a love story. How incredible this all is. But see, all of creation, it says the whole creation is groaning. I don't know if you've read reports here recently as well too. Scientists, you know, they have them big old dishes that read, I guess, the radio waves or different kind of waves and things of that nature. Did you know that the heavens are even making more noise than they've ever made? It's the truth. There's a groaning, believe it or not, in the universe. All of creation. You got planets groaning. You got things groaning you don't even know are groaning. But all creation's groaning. It's awesome. And even they know that even the earth, you know, they have these sensors in the earth. The earth is making more noise. There's groaning, grumbling, all of these different things. An ache, and praise be to God, it's for one thing. And that is for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's for you. Only God could write this stuff. Do you know that? Do you know that? I just want to make sure. It's just so beyond man's capability, comprehension, anything that man could ever contrive. This is your God. Think of that. Meditate on it. just chew it up. Praise be to God how much he loves us. But see, all of this stuff that's going on right now, whether it's the space or the earth, the animals and all of this, see, it's the orchestra that's tuning up for the blast of the ages. It's the truth. I was thinking about the rocks, you know, they'd cry out and all those. There are going to be things crying out. Everything is going to give him praise. Isn't that going to be something? Praise the Lord. I pray you see that in spirit for what, again, his word is true and what will come. See, Christ Jesus is going to have his wife, and that's real. And I'll tell you what, it's going to break forth. And I pray that let the spirit perform it in your heart right now. That's what it is. That's the joy of the Lord. Think about, again, how we entered into this section of scripture here. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. See, when this stuff really starts hitting our hearts, when this is really our life and our praise and our thanksgiving to God, we're talking faith, aren't we? That we believe this, that this truly is our life. You know, not just to believe a little bit of the scripture, but to believe the whole word of God. And having it rightfully divided, that's believing the whole word of God. When those things take over, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You don't sorrow as them that have no hope. And there's a lot of Christians that live like they have no hope, but they have all this hope. But you know, praise God, and you abound in that hope. And how do you abound in hope? By the Holy Ghost. Shedding this love abroad in our hearts. Again, for what God has prepared for them that love him, that love him. Praise be to God, brothers and sisters. Let's grow up into all of it. But more so than all that nature groaning here as we go on. Here's the greatest evidence in verse 23 of who she is, this wife, praise God, that has made herself ready. So let's go ahead and read verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, this is getting to be some really good stuff here. See, it just kind of keeps whittling it down and telling you about the groaning. Now, here's the magnificence of groaning. These are the lovesick ones. Remember the Shulamite, as she said, oh, I'm just sick of love. Hallelujah. And this is her. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Her total affections are set on the things above right now. These are the ones, brothers and sisters, that truly love his appearing. In every single way, we thank God for that. See, we love his appearing. Thinking about this again, as we say, yes, we're going to love to see the appearing of our Lord when we see him face to face, but loving the appearing, praise God, in the saints, amen, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory, loving the appearing of the Lord in our lives, even sometimes when that is bitter, as we start feasting on the word of God, we thank God for his faithfulness, for that chastening, the appearing of the Lord even in our lives. But praise be to God. How about the appearing of the Lord just in the word of God as it's being worked? Amen? That we don't go off in our minds. Again, as we see the world events begin to unfold before us. How we can get caught up into causes so fast. How we can get caught up into, well, I'm going to be for this party. And I'm going to be for this party. And I'm going to think this way. And this is the way. This is the right way. And all of those types of things. And it's, no, brothers and sisters, allow the mind of Christ to just be in you. Allow the word of God. See, that's what that is. That's the mind of Christ. To live your life. Amen? And see how beautiful it is. And then you can see these things unfolding as the word of God says that they're going to unfold. And then you say, oh my goodness, that's mine. That's my love. That's my Lord. And praise be to God, that's what I'm seeing. Then it's just good. It's well. I don't need to get bent out of shape about stuff. That's why we need to pray. Because every fiber about this flesh, it just wants to be one big sensory nerve. You know. Let's irritate me. Let's offend me. You know, all of these different things, because this is the way that I perceive. This is the way that I think it should be. Oh, my goodness. God, help us to get away from that. And thank the Lord again that those are the joint sufferings together with Jesus Christ. But see, brothers and sisters, it's not just could he come today for these folks. It's will he come today. There's a difference. And I'm learning that more and more all the time. You know, I think, you know, as I've seen little buttons and I love those. Perhaps today, that's sweet, precious. But really, will he come today? You think? Will he come tonight? Praise God. Expecting him at any moment. I thank the Lord. I think about him as depicted in that story of Isaac and Rebekah. You know that he was in that field all the time looking over that hill. He'd be doing a little work. Nope, got to look again. Praise be to God. So, you know that this is true for them that truly love the Lord, because what's happening in our lives, brothers and sisters, and this is part of the groaning, nothing satisfies anymore but seeing Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Aren't you know that glad that you know that a bigger barn's not going to satisfy you? It doesn't. Thank you, Jesus. He's so faithful. I think about the time even we live in where we're seeing again how false everything pretty much is. The Word of God said it would be, you know. But then again, we have to get experience, get knocked around a little bit. And that's the faithfulness of our God. He brings us to that point and says, now, honeys, I told you, don't put your confidence in man. I told you that this is the stuff that the thief is going to steal, the moth is going to get to, the rust is going to get to. Lay it up in heaven. That's it. It's good. It's wonderful. And then I'll tell you what, you'll start enjoying this life so much more, won't you? See, when you're living over there, it's good. Praise God here. It's just good. I'm just passing through. I just dwell in a little tent. Praise be to God, I'm not from round here. I have a citizenship in heaven, and praise be to God, I'm going home soon. But see, that is what holds us, brothers and sisters. And that was the ache of Paul as he finally even starts to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, looking forward to our departure. And again, not as an escape from here, brothers and sisters, but to be enjoined with him. There's a difference. And I thank the Lord for that. See, this is the love of the lovers. It's not to get away from something. It's not to get away from the family, but it's to be only in the arms of my first love. That's what true marriage is about. I've heard of marriages where it was just basically an evacuation from the parents or something of that nature. Well, that's not a marriage. That's not going to be something that's going to last. You go away because you love. You can't help but being alone with that person. And that's exactly what this is. Now, there's I thank God, there's a lot of fringe benefits to leaving this world. Amen, 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 amen. But I'm not going to turn around and say, so long, goodbye. I'm not that going, I won't even know what happened. I'm just going to be looking at him. Amen. So this is kind of how it is. All right, let's go ahead and close this out tonight with verse 24 and 25. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, that's the beauty of faith right there, brothers and sisters. That's a wonderful verse always to remember, is that faith, true faith, gives you precious patience to gladly wait for it. It's worth waiting for. I think about these different ones that have recently got married and all in the meeting, and I remember my grandmother, and she was telling us a story, kind of giving us some information about marriage and things of that nature. And there was a time when men, a lot of men would go off to war, and that was in World War II. And matter of fact, pretty much all of her sons were in World War II. And so there was like this pressure that was on, well, you better marry me or I'm not going to wait. My grandmother said, well, that is the best indication that that's not the one for you. Don't you get pressed and pushed. If this is something you have to do, son, if this one really loves you, they'll wait. There'll be a patience. Now, I know that there's two sides to every story in those regards. I'm not saying for men to abuse that either. But at the same time, there was a precious application to exactly where we are in Scripture with that, with my heart, is that it's worth waiting for. It's not even worthy to be compared. That means it's not even worthy to be uttered, in a sense, not even spoken of, about the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's how incredible this is. But going back to 24 and 25, I love to really have that parked away in my heart, what we just talked about there, though, and remember that true faith waits. True faith, praise God, is patience, and it's joyous in the waiting, and that only can be done from the faith that worketh by love. See, it's got to be that love. Love makes you wait in joy. Love makes you wait with patience that has great hope because of what we know will be. But in verses 24 and 25, as you're really looking at these, and really with that everything in the Word of God, always keep it in context with what's being spoken of, or you can get confused. Again, that's exactly what the enemy does. He'll take verses out of context and try to, see, this is what it says. No, we always need to know who's speaking, who's being spoken to, meaning is it a believer? Is it a non-believer? Is it somebody who's running for God's best? Is it somebody who's struggling? All those things. And what's being spoken about? All of those things are vital when you're reading the Word of God. And again, the Spirit, again, is the one that makes it known. It's by His Spirit, but making sure that is that rightfully dividing the Word of God. And what's being spoken about here that's very evident, what we've been talking about, is the groaning to be with Jesus. The groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And what's going on here is truly the groaning, because this is what's going to happen, to be clothed with the incorruptible. Putting off the corruptible and being clothed with the incorruptible. I'm talking about our new body that's coming. Hallelujah. I thank God as I get a little bit older, I get even more appreciative in a lot of different ways of that new body that's coming. When these parts kind of wear out and they don't work and all of these things and they don't work right and they kind of get in the way. But see, we're talking about the glorified body moment. We're talking about the like Him moment. And finally, to have the ability truly with that body to praise Him in the fullness. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Because I thank God for the Spirit, because this all's got to shut off every... And matter of fact, it's happening more and more all the time. Lord, I just got to praise You with the tongue that You've given, that language. Speaking mysteries unto You. As You let me know what I'm speaking once in a while, wonderful. But you know what, Lord? I believe the Word of God, and whatever You're receiving, I know You enjoy it. So you know what? I love it. And that's beautiful. But now, praise be to God, to have a body like unto His own glorious body. To praise Him with, to love Him with, to experience all of those things. Nothing to be hindered in that perfect praise and worship of Him going forth into the ages to come. As Sister Bodhi said, we are redeemed, but we're waiting for the redemptive rite of a new body, like unto His own glorious body. And then you'll notice here in verses 24 and 25, the word hope. You'll see it over and over, the hope, the hope, the hope, the hope, all of these verses. And that hope is so parallel, brothers and sisters, with faith and believing. But hope is the precious, earnest expectation. See, you hear me say it like this often. See, man's hope is if. If man says hope, well, if, I hope. Well, that means if it happens. The hope of God is when it happens. That's God's hope. It's when. It's the earnest expectation of when. And when that hope abounds in you, you're earnestly expecting it moment by moment. You're earnestly expecting to see Him moment by moment. You're thankful to that. And again, that's what the Word of God and the Word of His grace, and talking about Paul's gospel. And it is the gospel and the only gospel that'll bring forth that geyser-like life that truly, even when you're feeling low, even when you're feeling bad, even when you hurt or are sick and all these different things, there's a quickening. My goodness, Lord, this is building glory to glory in my life. My goodness, Your grace is having me meditate upon You. There's fellowship going on in a trial. That is incredible to go through these things like some of these families, whether it's with Lauren and some of these others that are sick and different things that people are dealing with. But they're dealing with it all according by the grace of God to the word of his grace. They see the scriptures being written in their lives, that this is being performed. It's written all over them. Praise God. That's the glory of the fellowship of the sufferings together with him. Now, what does this earnest expectation do? I'll tell you what it does. It proves our love. Earnest expectation proves the love of God in us. It's a validation. It's an expression. It proves patience. It proves enduring. It proves abiding. It proves that we are truly and completely confident in the promises of God, and that the glory of God will be revealed in us. That's what that proves. Hallelujah. That proves the faithfulness of God in your life. You're not holding out to show that you're anything. Praise be to God, he's performing this perfect work of love, of enduring and abiding faithful. Because I like to think of it this way, because of the grace of God, I'm full of faith. That's faithful. Are you faithful? Well, I'll tell you what, then you've apprehended a whole bunch of grace. And that's what he's doing. I want to be full of faith all the time. Because that faith, I'll tell you, was apprehended one way, and that was because of in love. Faith in love. That's when we will live. Those ones that we have marked that have gone before us, or that are still here, that the Lord has graced us with, that have fought a good fight, that are getting ready, that the time of the departure, one way or another, yeah, could be. How glorious. How glorious. And not that any of us have apprehended, but I'll tell you one thing, there's a confidence of an earnest expectation, isn't there? That it's all a work of grace, that there's nothing else that he would want for us than to win him. That's earnest expectation, brothers and sisters. And bottom line, this is the proof of the confidence in the uncompared value of his love for us. His love for us. Isn't that wonderful? See, I love him because he first loved me. I love how that Shulamite finally gets to it. I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. She finally forgot about all the myrrh she was carrying around. She finally forgot about my beloved is mine in a sense. Now don't get me wrong. She's still thankful about all that stuff. But the pinnacle of it all, I'm his. I'm his. I'm his. I'm his. He is ravished by me. I get it. I get that because of the grace of God, one bat of my eye, he's smitten. He's completely overwhelmed. All because of the grace of God that was apprehended. I know that couldn't be from me one bit, but I know that that's all the work of the glory of his grace. And brothers and sisters, in that infinite fervent love, he's given it all to us. Hallelujah. And praise be to God. Someday, it's going to be a glorious body like unto his own. And let's close out with those precious verses in Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And it says there, well, wait a second here. I think I got the wrong verses for you. That's 3, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sorry, it's chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation, or our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then in 1 John chapter 3, brothers and sisters, as we go, I believe this will make melody in our hearts. That's 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. But we know, amen, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.